When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey, man, you never know if they want me back or not. I don't take that for granted.
You've been doing this a long time. That's the first time I've ever heard you say that to us.
I say it every year. I'd like to be back, but you never know. The game's been...
The business side of things?
It's the business side of things. It's NFL, not for long. I want to be back. I would like to be a Pittsburgh Steelers still. But you don't know what's going on in the future.
Cam is the same type of guy that will put a tape job with his last name on the front of his helmet in a training camp-like setting. That's what makes him who he is. He takes none of this for granted, and that's just an expression of that. Just like when he puts his last name on his helmet in a training camp-like setting. He is special because he has a special approach, because he is legitimately humble and hardworking, and he takes none of this for granted. And so that's probably what that was.
You know, Max, I can't get over the humility and the humbleness of Cam's attitude, which is always something that, I don't know, it just rocks me. Because you take a look at around the league, you just watch some of the headlines. Micah Parsons, for instance, he blasts the NFLPA's first all-pro team after being left off the roster and so forth. And I just think, you know, do you really need to do that? You know, I mean, and then there's other stuff where guys are saying, you know, I find it very ingratiating when Cam talks about that humble attitude, having a servitude, being a leader, but also being a teammate with accountability and everything. I just love all that stuff because he lives it out in front of us.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's one thing to sit there and talk and complain, right? Like Micah Parsons did. It's another thing to go and just dominate a game after the results are out and you find out you're an alternate in the Pro Bowl. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, go let your actions be like.
Thank
hey,
you. Yes.
Go show them that you're wrong, as opposed to complaining about it. You know.
Yeah.
That's
hello.
You know
that's
saying?
A great idea. I wish I'd thought of that.
You know, just go out there and beat the living crap out of the guy in front of you and be like, okay, so I guess this is what backups do, huh? All right. All right, I'm going to just be me. Just be me, you know? And as two guys who are on the all-alternate team that took pride in just gouging people's faces in, you know, it's just, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know, just think about that. That's a Cowboy mentality versus a Steelers mentality.
All right, there we go.
Dig.
I
know.
That.
I lasted all of 5 minutes this morning, Wolf.
We got right to the cutting board there, my friend.
There it is. No sugarcoating this one.
No. Look, Cam's going to be 34 in May. By the way, I'm a May baby too, you know?
Oh, look at that. My wife's a May baby. Are you a Taurus as well? Are you?
I don't even know what that is. What's
okay.
A Taurus is a car, right?
No, it is as well. Great car by Ford. I don't put it past them. Listen, RoboCop drove a Ford Taurus back in the day.
That was cool. Yep.
Yeah, he drove the SHO edition. Yeah, the cop version, sorry. I was going to ask, when's your birthday in May?
Oh, May 19th, yeah.
Okay, so you're just over the cusp. Okay, so you are...
Am I driving a Taurus?
You're still... No, you're looking at a Taurus.
Oh,
okay. You're on the outside looking in at a Taurus. You can window shop for
already.
It. Yeah, I know we are. Oh. We are. But furthermore to your point, I think, you know, it's certain mentalities. And I think the Steelers have a great way of identifying that talent more often than not. I mean, nobody's going to be a perfect 100%, but you think about the mentality of guys who play for the Steelers over this vast expanse, right? Looking at almost we're getting to almost 90 years. What, this season will be the 90th season, I believe?
Is it? Let's see, from 33. We got
to
be. 33, I think you're right.
23.
Do the math.
Yeah, we should.
Carry
yeah, on. Exactly. No, just minus 10. Minus 10. 33
okay.
From 23.
Yeah,
is
that sounds like
10
90.
Left over. Yeah, that sounds like 90. But I think when you look at that and you think about it, I mean, there are their own unique individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, when you think of the totality or the sum of the personalities, they're all pretty consistent with each other.
Right.
And they all get along. And I think you have to have a certain level of humility to be here. You know, the over cocky and confident and feeling constantly disparaged, you know, that personality trait doesn't really go well in this type of locker room. You know,
yeah.
The woe is me. I mean, there's no fainting couch in the locker room last time I checked. I've been wronged. I've been wronged.
Did anyone ever tell you had a flair for the dramatic, my friend?
You know, I love inflections in voice and intonations,
right?
and everything that's sarcasm. Listen, I've never been accused of being shy. Let's just put it that
no,
way, Wolf.
Absolutely, absolutely not. Ever since I've known you, you have not been shy.
No. Analytical, maybe.
Yes.
You know, a little bit overly. You know.
Well, you're thoughtful in all your responses.
I am.
You know?
I'm thoughtful, and I feel like, you know, it's thorough. It's thorough. Some people call it, you know, pointing and very poking, but I feel like it's just thorough and thoughtful, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you poke the bear out of fun. It's always good
natured. I got to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to see the teeth to make sure they're healthy, you know? That's it. That's all it is.
Do you know, Hoopy, I'd come home from a season, right? I'd come home after the season's over. You know, we played, you know, all, you know, whole season long, drive home, go see mom for a week, you know, stay there. And the first thing she'd walk up, she'd grab my jaw and then open your mouth. Let me see those teeth. I put a lot of money into those teeth growing up, she says. And you don't wear your mouth guard.
Listen, it's important to wear the mouth guard, Wolf.
Oh, I just, you know, I got rid of that my first or second year in the league when we were in Dallas. And it was so hot. It was like my mouth guard was melting into the upper cleft of my mouth, the upper palate. And I remember there was a timeout, and it just like it felt like it was just melting in there. And I just unbuckled my chin strap, pushed my helmet back, I tilted my head back also, and I just spit it out somewhere on the Texas Stadium turf, and I never wore one again.
Yeah.
It was like sayonara.
Exactly. So you don't want to talk like this? Yeah. You don't like that when you sound like you got to lift it when you talk with the mouthpiece there?
That's Slide, yes. That's I'm talking like Sylvester. The
Slide! Player. Clyde! 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 Clyde!
Yeah, I bit my tongue more than once.
Yeah. Charge! What is he saying? I don't know. Oh, he's running. Oh, he's down.
You know, if you'd have cut to the outside, you'd have taken it all the way, Max.
I was trying to cut to the outside. The problem was those knee braces did not allow for a lot of lateral mobility.
You're working your way towards the sidelines.
I felt like Najee with the steel plate in my shoe, you know?
Only except for it was my knees.
Except for it was my whole body that felt like that. It was the last play of the game. I mean, you know.
Come on, what are you going to do?
Hey. We don't necessarily get subs at the offensive line position. We only get subbed when we get injured. That's you realize, you know, so, I mean, you know, I wasn't as fresh as that DB that probably came in a nickel situation.
You know, it's so funny because I do Steelers camps, you know, the youth camps, and I work with the offensive linemen. I always have a ball, and I hold it up. And I show the ball to all the offense, the guys that are with me in the group, and I go, "You see this? We don't need this. We don't want this because if we have this, something really bad has happened."
Yeah. Unless you're giving it to someone between your legs, that's the only time.
That's
it's acceptable.
The only time the center just snapping it back.
And it's going backwards. There's no tuck in it at any point. Here's what I used to say to my teenage kids. I said, if this is tucked, we're
okay. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you just look at him like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say it because I'm an adult, but you already know. I know you know that word. Don't act like you don't.
But don't say it either.
Don't tell me you know the word either.
Yeah.
It's an unwritten rule. Just give me it with the eyes. Just say yes with your eyes,
we're
not with your mouth.
All right. So going back to Cam, he's a three-time All-Pro over the last six seasons. And in 2022, and I'm not real big on PFF, you know, as a mandate, I think they give you an idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you can kind of mold thoughts around that. But they rated him the fifth best out of 66 quality interior defensive linemen. Number three in quarterback pressures with 58. 10.5 sacks tied him for 17th overall. But fifth among the DTs, there is no sign of him slacking off or dropping off in playing ability. You know, I mean, this guy, he's only missed two games. And the two times that he missed a game was when Mike pulled him out because of the regular season finales and it just gave him the game off.
Yeah. No, I mean, think about this. I mean, what game was it? Gosh, I can't remember exactly what game. It was either the Patriots or the Jets. I mean, Cam hurt his ankle.
Yeah.
His shoulder.
Yep.
His knee. And I'm pretty sure something else. And it was just like, you know, it was one of those things where, like, he went down.
Yeah.
Training crew came out. He came out for a play. He kind of shook it off as he walked off to the sidelines. And then, boom, was right back in there. I was like, gee, I mean, the guy is just made out of just the toughest leather on earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just – it's like the strapping leather, like when you're sharpening a blade, like that's what can't, it never breaks, and it's always good, you know. And I think that's just kind of the mentality, the durability of this guy. He literally embodies a man of steel.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying.
Like
when we walk out of the locker room and you see that sign, you tap it, in the hallway it says "Men of Steel." I mean, he believes that phrase, and he goes and embodies that phrase. And, you know, for Cam, I mean, to do what he's doing at this point in his career is just, you know, phenomenal. I mean, it's a testament to him, how he prepares, what he does to keep his body right. It's all indicative. And you hope that more guys kind of look at that example and kind of follow that. Like, you know, listen, as I learned it, fake it till you make it.
Yes.
And that means – imitation is the best form of flattery, so I would rather imitate Cam Hayward if I'm a young D lineman than anything else. Like, hey, whatever he does, I do.
See, that's exactly it. He's that guy in the room that gives you that prototype to follow, you know, throughout as you're developing your own sort of ability to become a pro. You know, it was like I was looking at John Kolb, Mike Webster, Larry Brown. They set the pace in the room. Sam Davis, the first year before he got hurt, in the room. Guys that you looked up to, guys that showed you what it looked like to walk, talk, and prepare as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, and those are the examples we look at. I know for me, you know, we talked about it, Wolf, but I'll say it again. I went and watched it, all the best offensive tackles, the guys who I thought were, you know, their stances and everything else, and I tried to mimic those things. Right. I tried to do what Marvell Smith did, right? I followed the examples of guys like Barrett Brooks, and just until I figured out what my process was.
Yes.
So I figured out my own efficiency and what my skill set is, and that's what you often do. You can't just rely, you know, because Russ Grimm used to always say, you know, hey, whatever it took to get here, just keep doing that. But you realize once you get here, yes, that gets you in the door, but what sustains you? You know, those are the things that you have to work on, and those are the things that you have to constantly work to improve. When you lose that desire or the ability to prepare like that, that's, you know, that's when it's when something's run its course. But at the same time, as long as you have that desire, as long as you have that will to get better, you will always have a place if you're working towards those things. And I think Cam is just one of those guys. He had the examples around him when he was a young guy, right?
Yep.
He could look at a Brett Kiesel. He could look at an Aaron Smith. He could look at a Casey Hampton. And then figure out, once he got of age, figure out what works best for him. And then from there, once you have the blueprint, then you just constantly keep working that sheet, right? Keep
Absolutely.
Whittling down.
Yep.
And you'll always find something new and better. And I think that's what Cam is always constantly doing. And I think that's just a testament and why his humility is where it's at, because he knows, I'm not sitting here trying to claim I'm the best or pretend I'm the best. He's like, but I'm going to continue to work because I always feel like there's something that I can do better. The consistency, the endurance, something in there. What, it could be one little thing. I hate the way that on third downs in the third quarter, my swim move doesn't work this way. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it could be that specific, but he continually finds that thing. It's like Tom Brady. It's like, you know, as much as we ad nauseum talk about Tom Brady, but I think there's truth to what he's doing. Like, he is literally the greatest of all time at the quarterback position as far as what he's accomplished. And you marvel at the question, what else does he have to prove? Why is he still doing this? Why did he unretire? Oh, blah, blah, blah. We'll never know, but that's also what makes him great.
Yeah, it is. No doubt.
He always finds that one thing that is just like, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't like the way my pinky was when I threw, you know, at over 40 times. Once I get to 42 through 43 on my passes, my pinky doesn't quite squeeze the ball the same. You know what I'm saying? It's like what? You know, things that we would think are trivial, that's what drives them. And I think the same thing drives Cam, and that's why we're talking about he's not plateauing, he's not declining in skills. He's always finding something new to work at and a new challenge that propels him through the offseason into the next season. And that's what you're always looking for, that it, right?
Exactly.
We're talking about the it factor. That's what Cam – that's what Cam possesses, the innate ability to find the it.
Well, you know who else has got the it factor? Guess who's coming up?
Oh, it is a Thursday.
Yes.
I think the yacht club called. we need to make sure that we have space for the one, the only Cool Breeze himself to dock.
Grab your boat shoes.
That's right. Hey, and make sure you take them off before you step aboard, or Skipper will be mad.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We will step aside. And when we come back, we got the Cool Breeze himself, Jerry Dulac, on the other side in the locker room of Wolf and Starks here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, just listen to that. Just let it happen. Let it flow through your veins, because you know what? Mr. Jerry Dulac himself is coming onto the radio airwaves, and More importantly, Jerry is brought to us by Chupka's 2 Cafe, located in the historic South Side, where you can catch all of your playoff football action and hockey on their 17 beautiful, glorious, large screen televisions. And you can enjoy Coors Light drafts by the $3 pours. And we are just so blessed and welcome to bring into this harmonious yet sanctified locker room Mr. Jerry Dulac. How are you doing, Jerry?
You know, Max, when you hear that music, it wants your voice to turn melodic and soft.
Yes.
And speak in hushed, whispered tones, because whether you know this or not, and I had it played deliberately, that's the theme song from the Masters.
Really?
And I figured both of you two would not know that that's what it was. But I don't want to underestimate your knowledge of sports in general and golf in particular.
Well, look,
because
all I know,
this time of year, my mindset starts to switch and drift a little bit toward the greener pastures of Augusta National.
This is tremendous.
And this just feels like walk-up music for Amen Corner. You know what I'm saying, Jerry?
Yes, it does.
And it makes my mind flitter with $2 pimento cheese sandwiches. And
right,
harkens on the days of yore, you know, when things were simpler, it was easy, you know, food was cheap and plentiful. And that's the reason why I go to the Masters, is simply.
I thought that's what it was. And, you know, this being your last week and this being my last appearance with you, I wanted to go out with this some type of genteel music, and I send you guys off into the sunset. And me as well.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because you guys, when you start talking about the Masters, I'm going, oh, you mean like Caliente's, you know, the Masters of Pizza,
right,
you know?
Hey,
there you go. Now I'm cooking. You're cooking with Crisco with me, buddy. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. That's the first thing that comes to mind when you say Masters is pizza. Thank you, Will.
How are we doing, boys?
Thank you.
We're doing good. We're great.
Yeah,
Max got me all discombobulated. We got into some discussion here early on, and then that music threw me off. I didn't know what to do with that music. But certainly, I got a feeling that's going to pave the way. By the way, who's going to be winning the Masters this year, since we're on that?
Well, you know I would love nothing more than to see Rory McIlroy win, because then he completes golf's Grand Slam, which means he will have won every major. I always like to see Jordan Spieth win, because he's not only a tremendous player, he's the nicest player out there. But there's a side of me, because of the contention in golf, I'd love to see one of these LIV players win, like Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau, and cause even more consternation in the world of golf. Not that that's what I'm looking for, but I just think the irony would be delicious, if you would.
Yeah. Listen, Jerry, I love it. And I think one of the great things about the Masters is, you know, as great as it is, as storied as it is, and as they change some of the parameters, I mean, it's one of the most picturesque, I think, on television to watch courses, just because the attention to detail course.
And you're right, Max, and it's not just the beauty of the place, but it's when it occurs in April, when we're all tired of the winter, and we're eager. Well, of course, Max, you get a little bit earlier than we do. Eager for spring, and you get those pictures, and it's a rite of spring. It signals that okay, it's here, and summer's next, and that's what adds to it. The beauty of that place, you know, with the magnolia and the dogwood. I've been there. You know, I've been there 27, and I'm figuring this year is going to be 28, and maybe the last time. But there's no place like it. There's no question about it.
So, Jerry, what's the best place to eat at the Masters?
Let's get down to
brass tacks.
I thought you would never ask, but Augusta being Augusta, it tends to have a lot of chain restaurants. So if you try and get into T-Bones, which is about two blocks from the entrance to the golf course, if you can believe that, you probably can't get in about 10 or 11 at night, you know, so... But there's the, you know, Wade Golf Course. A lot of people like the people who've been there for years go to the French Market Grill, Bonefish Grill was right down there, right down the highway. By
I
the
was just in Bonefish last night. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bonefish. I really like Bonefish Grill. So, but there's a ton of chain restaurants. You know, the funny thing, the first time I went to the Masters, fellas, I'm driving up Washington Road, and it's telling me that I see the signs for golf course parking. And I feel like I'm driving up McKnight Road. There's a Jiffy Lube, there's fast food, there's a strip mall, and I'm thinking, where is this hallowed golf course? I thought when I would be going to Augusta, like I would be driving out in the field, and the sunlight would be shining down, you know, and the fescue would be whipping through the wind, and it just, you know, and like there would be like a halo over the golf course. And here I am driving past Jiffy Lube down McKnight Road, and I'm going to turn right into the golf course, which of course is hidden by trees and fences. Wow. But it's you know, it's just strange because you're expecting this idyllic location, and you end up with, you know, stoplights and you know, Burger King. It's kind of funny.
That is really, really odd, man. That's wild.
It's incongruous to what you would expect for this hallowed, sacred piece of golfing ground.
Now, Max, yeah. Are you a big golfer? Well, if you golfed, you
would
be
a big golfer because he's 6'8".
Yeah, I was going to say.
A big golfer. I'm naturally a big golfer just by default. but I do enjoy golf. I do enjoy playing golf. You know, I'm already planning on playing in the Super Bowl tournament out here for the NFLPA, the Trust, and also the NFL alumni. So I'll be playing in those and also catching a couple rounds. Yeah, I don't get to play during the season, obviously. And
I
have one tournament I play during the season. That's up in Massachusetts at Hyannisport. But, you know, in the off season, we try and get trips together for all of our guys. Usually in February, like we're going to Innisbrook down in Tampa with Trey Essex and Willie Colon and I and a couple of other guys. We'll go play, and then Willie has his annual March Guys Golf Trip. We'll pick a location and go. So, I mean, we play a lot of golf, so we do enjoy
it. All right, I want to challenge you both. Let's go to Nemacolin. Let's do Nemacolin, but the miniature golf, okay?
Yeah, you want to do the
of course.
Max, I will tell you then, when I'm in Phoenix for the NFL owners' meetings at the end of March, and I know you guys find this hard to believe, but I find time to play golf while I'm there.
What?
I will keep mine, and I will see if you are around and you want to join us for a little round.
Yeah, please do, Jerry, because I mean, we have so many fantastic courses. I know you guys were
– Right.
I want to say, were you guys at the – where were you guys at last year for the owners?
We were in West Palm, but we're at the
– West Palm.
They were at the Breakers last year, but we're at
– Yeah, that's right.
What's the play? Oh, God. It's right on the tip of my tongue. In Phoenix, the Swank Resort. Jeez, I can't believe I can't think
the Phoenician.
Not the Phoenician. No.
Fairmont,
not
the Phoenician. Scottsdale Princess?
No.
Four Seasons. The Hyatt Gainey Ranch. Monte Lucia.
Tombstone.
This place makes those places look like the Monroeville Holiday Inn. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. We do have a bunch.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, please let me know. I'll be out here in the springtime, so yeah.
I think we need to have a go on miniature golf. That's what we need, man.
Right. Listen, I got this one. It's called Area 51 Golf out here. It has all the like the black lighting and everything. Wolf, you'd love it. It's indoor air conditioned.
Oh, that's sweat too much. You got burgers nearby. I'm sure they got food there. I bet you.
Oh yeah.
Just came to me, Max. The Biltmore.
The Biltmore.
Right there, Central Phoenix. Yeah, off of the 24th. Yeah,
and
their course, and they have a nice resort course. It's wide open and everything.
Right,
they usually Billy Cundiff does his golf tournament there every year.
Yeah, I usually play one day.
Ravens punter.
Yes, kicker, I usually play one day there and two other times. I usually try to get there a day early, and play outside somewhere else while I'm there.
Well, let me know because I have a couple of recommendations.
There you go.
Wolf, stop this. This is our last time to talk for a while, Wolf. You're trying to interfere with an interview? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm trying to get Jerry back to football.
You're trying to get me back on track, but that's a good thing.
Well, my only question is, how have the post, you know, the exit interviews gone with the players thus far. Well, have you been around the locker room there? Had a chance to talk to some of the guys?
Well, you know, Wolf, the only day they allow us to have the exit is Monday, the day after.
Okay.
And, you know, they had it open for an hour. And, you know, I spent a lot of time talking to a bunch of not a bunch of guys, certainly a handful of guys that I needed to talk to or want to talk to. But after that, you know, we don't have that type of access. Of course, we don't get access, at least official media access, to the coaches. So after Monday, you know, that's it for us for the players. And, you know, Mike Tomlin had his
press conference
his press conference on Monday. And that's the last time he will speak publicly until the owners' meetings in late March. He doesn't speak at the combine. He never has. I'm guessing he never will. And so we won't hear anything from him publicly until then, at the last week of March. So it'll be a long time before about 2.5 months before anybody hears anything from Mike Tomlin about his team or coaching staff.
All right, so who do you think the Steelers will prioritize in the in re-signing? I mean, for instance, Larry Ogunjobi is a guy that pops in my mind.
Well, let me say this: amongst guys, the one thing what they will hope to do is extend Alex Highsmith.
Right.
Now it's going to be up to Alex Highsmith to see, because he's under contract through 2023. It's going to be up to Alex Highsmith to see if he wants to sign an extension, or if he wants to go after this year, hoping maybe he has another good year next year, go to free agency and make a whole lot more money than the Steelers are going to pay him. And the Steelers just aren't going to pay him, because nothing against him. That money, just like with the Bud Dupree situation, they didn't give Bud a multi-year contract. And Bud knew this because the money was earmarked for T.J. Watt. Well, T.J. Watt got that money. So there's only so much money. They're going to allot what they'll pay to Alex Highsmith. Mm. And it'll be a nice contract, I'm sure. But I'm going to guess that maybe Highsmith, you know, will think, well, maybe let's roll the dice, see what kind of season I have, and, you know, go test my market value in free agency, which, you know, market values for edge rushers, as you guys know, especially one coming off a season who had 14.5 sacks, and we'll see what he does next year. You know, he could get a pretty penny out there. He won't get T.J. Watt money, but he'd get a bigger contract than what the Steelers would be willing/able to pay him. Now, that being said, I don't think you'll see them be active in free agency. And by that, I mean they certainly won't be as active as they were last year, and they were very active in free agency last year, and I don't expect that. I expect their biggest moves, to come in the draft. But the three biggest keys to me, and I think to them, will be, you mentioned one, Wolf, Larry Ogunjobi. What do you do with him? They signed him to a one-year, $8 million deal. And now they signed him to 1 year because they wanted to see if he could get through the season, whatever injuries were bothering, in particular that Liz Frank injury for which he had surgery. So, and we saw him limited a lot of times in practice. So then are they going to think, do we want to sign him to a multi-year contract? Based on his performance on the field, you would say yes. But maybe his medical history would suggest otherwise. That's number one. DeMonte Kazee is number two. Another guy they signed to a one-year deal who they like a great deal. And I would think they'll try to bring him back. And number three, and this is not in order, but the third guy is Terrell Edmunds, who they didn't pick up his option. He went to free agency. He sat out there till the day before the draft, and then they brought him back on a one-year, $2.5 million deal. He has been very, very solid. Mm-hmm. He's played very, very well, actually, since the middle of last season.
Absolutely.
So, I think, now you're going to decide, okay, which of those do we want to bring back? Do we want to bring back all three of them? Do we want to try and get them on a one-year deal? Do we want to give them a two-year deal? Are they willing to accept that? Larry Ogunjobi had a nice deal from the Chicago Bears, I think 3 years, 20-some million, but he failed the physical. So he can command a decent dollar, but it just depends how teams are going to view his medical history. So I think their biggest focus in free agency is going to be the three guys that have that they would like to bring back in some form or another. Maybe two of them, maybe three of them, maybe only one of them. I don't know. But I think that's where their off-season free agency focus, for the most part, is going to be.
So what you're saying is it's going to be almost like like a college team trying to re-recruit its own players.
Yeah, I just don't think – yeah, Max, I just don't think you'll see them be as active as they were last year in free agency. And I you know, there are some missing pieces. You know, maybe there's a, you know, a veteran inside linebacker they could bring in till Mark Robinson is ready to play. You know, Robert Spillane, he's an unrestricted free agent, I would imagine, because they could probably, when I say they could get him on the cheap, he's not going to go into free agency and get any kind of monster deal.
Right.
So I think that's another key for them. But, you know, their focus, their rebuild focus, if you will, has to be on those lines of scrimmage with youth. You know, you have to go find a Marquise Pouncey or a David DeCastro. You have to go find a Cam Hayward or a Stephon Tuitt. You know, DeMarvin Leal is going to be a nice player. You can see that. But you need to go get a stud on both sides of the line of scrimmage if you can. And, of course, who wouldn't want to shut down corner? It's easy to say. They're hard to find. But I think that's what you're going to look at. With those two picks in the first 32, I think you could pretty much pencil in that offensive line, defensive line, or cornerback is the way to go. And, fellas, when you look at Andy Weidel's history, you know, Andy Weidel is going to be in charge of putting together the draft board. That's his job, assessing the collegiate talent and putting that board together. That's what he did in Philadelphia. He didn't make the picks, but he put them together. Mm-hmm. And you look at where the Eagles have been, their strength, offensive line and defensive line. And I would think that's the way, you know, the Steelers want to go and need to go, despite the fact the offensive line has played very, very well. And I don't have to tell you guys, Pat Meyer deserves tons and tons of credit for the way he has molded and, changed their technique and how they play. And you can't say enough, really, to me, the job that Pat Meyer did.
Absolutely. You know, Jerry, that's one thing we, Max and I have both been, giving salutations out to, Hogline boss Pat Meyer, you know, because I always say fat is where it's at, and it always starts up front, and the guys did a great job this year, and they were, just as Max was talking about coming out of training camp, give them time, and certainly they did. But, you know, you look at what do you think is what's the positive, because I don't follow the draft as much as you guys, so what's the chances of getting a good corner with the 18th pick?
You know, Wolf, that's I think you can get one. If your quote shutdown corners, the guys, you know, just like anything, the edge rusher, the cornerback, they go in the first five picks, maybe the first eight if there's a run on quarterbacks. So that's not to say that you can't get a good player, obviously, at number 18, and you could get a good player at number 32. But the elite players tend to be, and most of the draft people will tell you this, truly elite players, the guys who almost can't miss, forget quarterbacks because people tend to overevaluate them. They're usually, like I said, in the top five. But I don't think there's any question. If you can draft a quality corner and you can find a guy that you can lock down on a top receiver, and let's face it, they struggled with big play receivers this year, making big plays against them. And the only time they didn't is because it was Davante Adams. And look, I'm not going to use the weather as an excuse and take away from whatever it was that they did. But Derek Carr missed him, targeted him nine times. I think he had two catches. He missed him a great deal in that frigid weather. But I think if you can get that type of corner that you can lock on somebody, now all of a sudden you take away half the field, if you will. I think that makes Cam Sutton better and more valuable. And so to me, I think you they'll be looking for a number one corner. And I think the other thing, too, here, fellas, we know the Steelers' history of drafting cornerbacks has not been very good, unlike wide receivers. But you have to remember now, their entire scouting department or personnel department has been revamped. And that comes probably a change in philosophy. Not so much philosophy, that's part of it, but how players are evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe evaluations of corners in the past, you know, Artie Burns, for example, hasn't been very good. The evaluation of Artie Burns, and where did he go? He went in the top 17, 18, 19 or something like that. And so I think the other thing that needs to change, too, with the way the game is played, the Steelers always like corners who can play the run, physical corners who could come up to the line of scrimmage. You know what? That ain't the way the game's played. They need corners who can cover and take away the deep pass. So I think you have to change your philosophy of the type of cornerback you think you need as well. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think those are big factors have to be considered very well could be considered.
Well, thank you very much, Duke. Yes. We so appreciate you. There's nothing like a nice Thursday morning with the cool breeze. Thank you so much for the whole year, brother.
Yeah, we appreciate it very much.
Absolutely, boys. And, you know, I always enjoy not only being on with you Thursday, but I enjoy being with you in the booth before every game. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good offseason, but I'll catch up with you very soon, I'm sure.
Jerry, I have one last question for you. Trivia question. Since we were talking Masters, my good buddy Keith sent over a question. I have a trivia question for you. Which hole is there a palm tree at the Masters? There's only one. Do you know which hole it is?
A palm tree? No, I don't. It's probably a trick question, but no, I don't know.
Hole number four.
It's not a trick question?
It's not a trick question.
Oh, come on, Max. I thought he had a great trick question here.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not going to trick him. We're talking about the foliage and the scenery, but so
right.
Next time you go on trip 28.
Check it out. I will, because now I'm going to go
check
it out at number four, and I'm going to go, where the hell's that palm tree?
Yeah, that, or you're going to be singing, I've got the lovely bunch of coconuts, deedle-dee, here they go. You'll start drifting even further. Yes, as we play, outro music now.
Into the sunset.
It's almost like a wrap it up. It's almost like the wrap it up box, you know, you just hit it.
Right.
Come on, wrap it up. But
you gotta love that. Gotta love that music. It's my ringtone for several of my golfing friends.
See, there it is. And so, on that note, I'll make sure that we take this out very nicely and softly. We want to thank Jerry Dulac for all that he's done, not only for us in the locker room, but for what he does for the city of Pittsburgh and what he does covering the Steelers and bringing you this hard-hitting journalism that just boggles and wonders the mind. And we know that Jerry wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our folks over at Chupka's 2 Cafe down in the historic South Side. If I didn't mention earlier, they do have 17 televisions that you can watch all of your sports action, including playoff football, and of course, our Pens. And we want to make sure that on top of that, we also delight you with drafts of the Coors. We tap the Rockies there, and it's only $3. And you can enjoy all of that at Chupka's 2 Cafe, who proudly sponsors and brings us Jerry Dulac every week here in the locker room. And on that note, thank you guys. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we'll have more here in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Derek Carr under center, play action fake, and he throws the pass, and it's intercepted on the tip. Arthur Millett turns it upfield, gets to the 40, and is tackled at the 44-yard line by the intended receiver, Moreau, the tight end.
You know, I just can't help but pour a little sunshine into everybody's soul when you got guys like Arthur Millett. You know, you talk about an attaboy, good guy, spotlight type feature. He's one of these guys that really is serious about giving back. Max, I love athletes that take the time to get, you know, down and dirty in the act of giving back. They pour life into others. And Arthur Millette visited the Second Avenue Commons, a shelter in Pittsburgh's downtown area for those experiencing homelessness. And he gave out coats and spent time talking to them. And just as important, he sat down and just, he listened too. And one of the things that you'll find when you interact with homeless folks is they feel like they're unseen. They feel like, you know, nobody pays any attention to them. They feel like they've got, you know, nowhere to go. And when you take the time to talk with them and listen to them, it really is special. And for Arthur Millette, during the course of the season, to take time to, you know, go down and share like that, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that's kind of one of the great things is the charity, right?
Right.
The ability to feel that responsibility, but also to embody that responsibility of helping those in need. And it's something that, you know, I know all of us are proud of, and things that we've taken part in as players and as former players. Wolf, I know, you know, all the work that you do with Light of Life Rescue Mission and of course with John Cole's foundation as well. You know, it's Adventures and hold on.
Adventures and Training with a Purpose.
There we go.
There you go,
Adventures
brother.
Adventures and Training with a Purpose. I was close.
I got your six. I got your back, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that. And you know, and even for my time in Pittsburgh, you know, I worked on – we had Thanksgiving food drives. I worked with Charlie and his Best of the Batch projects.
Absolutely.
That he does year-round. You know, it's great when guys carry on that legacy of service. Because it's much needed, and the platform that guys have, you don't realize the reach that you have. And also for Cam Hayward also being the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient, it's not necessarily for what's seen, it's more so for the unseen as well. Not only what is known about, but the things that they just do out of the goodness of their hearts, and those are the things that make it special. When you don't need the recognition, you don't seek that recognition,
right.
It just happens. And, you know, all the guys, I credit all of them with all their various foundations and all the work that they've done. And even, you know, hearing about DeMar Hamlin being a local Pittsburgh son and going and donating, you know, in person, like you said, seeing all the DBs and all their contributions. I mean, this is just, that's what warms your heart. And those are the stories we don't cover enough of.
Yes.
But
we cover them here in the locker room, baby.
We cover them here in the locker room because that's what we do. We go beyond the surface. We're not superficial. We're deep.
You know.
You heard that last commentary. You heard the music. You know that we can get serious when we need to.
We're nothing if not a fact-based show, gentlemen.
There we go. Fact-based
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
Now think about this. Arthur Millette grew up in the lower Ninth Ward, New Orleans, the oldest of five, two brothers, two sisters, no mother, no father to speak of in their lives. His grandfather took care of them when they were young. For a period of time, Arthur was homeless. He was sleeping in a church bus. You know, he dropped out of school, but now he's giving back. Let me read you a quote, what he said. "Anything I do as far as giving back, I want to be hands-on. That is a must for me. I am a ground guy. I want to be in the mix. I don't want to just donate and not be a helping hand. It means a lot for me to be there. I will continue to be there with anything where I am giving back." I salute you, Arthur Millette. That is awesome. Your story is awesome, and you are bigger than what you came up from. You're just, I stand in awe. I love when guys do that. You know, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Max.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is what you have to do, right? I mean, this is, you know, it's amazing when you hear the stories, you know, because just like any good superhero, right? There's got to be an origin tale, Wolf.
There you go.
Everybody has to be born out of some hardship to make them the tremendous person or being that they are. And Arthur has a fantastic one.
Yes, he does. What
a
story.
When you think about how grounded he still stays,
yep,
even after, you know, after all that, you can go a lot of different directions, right, on the road. When you have those obstacles thrown in your way, But what did he do? He just blasted forward.
He did.
And I think that's what's awesome to hear. And then what he continues to do and the job that he's done. I mean, you know, it is a thankless job playing on the slot.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Well, yep, like, yep. People don't appreciate it. They see the island corners, the man corners, you know, the safeties running up and blasting folks and making big play interceptions. But that slot guy, that nickel guy, is oft overlooked. And he makes it a focal point.
Except when they tackle guys who just picked up the ball or 6'8", 300-plus, and yell, charge.
First of all, it hurt him a lot worse than it hurt me.
It did. There's no doubt about it. I just watched that video over and over, and I'm like going, he might have regretted that.
Yeah.
Taking Max down.
But you know what? I can always say I beat Ronnie Brown in rushing one game.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's all I need. That's all I need.
You average 4 yards a carry,
quadrupled
buddy.
Up his totals, baby.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, I mean, for the rest of my life, I can now go and say, you know what? I out-dueled a great running back in the NFL at one point when we were in college. You know, I led my team in rushing for one game. Who else could say that? What other lineman can say that?
SEC school too, Max. I mean, come on.
Exactly. I'm just saying. I average 4 yards a carry in the SEC. You know,
that's awesome. That's just awesome. That
Hall of Fame clip right there.
Exactly.
We better get out of here, Max, because you know what's coming up next.
Power Hour time is here. We are on the precipice of greatness here in the locker room once again. But we're going to step aside, pay some bills, and when we come back, more Steelers action, and of course, the musing and wonderings of Max and Wolf's mind here in the locker room on ESPN SNR Radio.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.